you? How could you, Jack?
I'm sorry, like, I couldn't help it.
Cut! That was horrible! Who wrote the script?
Welcome to the movie show!
FM.
What's up?
Hey, how you doing?
Welcome
to the movie show
on Active FM with
Ryan
and Sash. And today we are going to be reviewing a movie entitled Public Enemies.
Enemies, yay! Yes. What an awesome title. What a good title.
Wow, Ryan.
Fantastic. What a different movie, eh, Sash?
Yeah.
I'm so glad to be watching a whole lot of different movies. So if you have started listening to this and you stumbled upon the wrong show, no, you want to listen further because we're about to intrigue, dissect, dig into, and we're about to shoot down this movie.
Mm. Yep.
Not shoot it down, as in bad shoot down.
Just get into it.
Yes, that's it.
Yes.
We're going to break
it apart. So this film is actually quite an old film. In fact, it's in 11 years that it's been out now. So it was made in 2009. And it is a crime drama. So the genre is, it's not your normal, usual movie. It's a crime drama. And this is the crazy part, right? So this film was made in 2009. Now, back then, the average running time for a film was generally 90 minutes, which would equal 1 hour 30 minutes. So that's generally, you know, every single movie. Obviously, you had your exceptions like Lord of the Rings and stuff like that, which just went on for like 3 hours.
Ever.
But your roughly every movie was roughly an hour and 30 minutes. However, this film in 2009 was 2 hours and 23 minutes. So now, obviously, we've gotten to a point where I think most films are 2 hours. We've even had, you know, like Endgame, which runs for 3 hours. But I think in 2009, that definitely was something because, you know, back then, they weren't making movies for that long.
They were not making movies that long.
They weren't. In fact, when I watched the film, I was like, okay, cool, probably good. You know, you like think how much time is this going to take? Was like, okay, perfect. It's going to be roughly 1 hour 30. And then I started watching it. I was probably, I think I was like 15 minutes into the film. And I happened to look at where I was and it was counting down and I still had like 2 hours and 5 minutes or something like that. And I was like, wait a minute. If that's left, that means this film is over 2 hours. So yes, this film is over 2 hours.
Yes, definitely.
It's quite
and
a long
movies
film.
That are usually over 2 hours have to be good to keep you glued.
Yes.
And so far I think we've had one close failure. I can't remember which movie it was, but if you check back, you'll know. Or if you're a big fan, you'll know.
Yes.
But and honestly, for myself, if I can say from my side, I wouldn't say I got bored, but I don't know. It's weird. It's like, honestly, this whole movie was just odd for me. I can't put the finger on what I thought or what. I'm still sitting. I'm like, I'm not so sure. But it's got an interesting history, though. I mean, I enjoy history. And so when I looked at this, and I even watched a whole YouTube video, an 11-minute video on this guy, John Dillinger. And it was quite, I mean, it was, yeah. Like,
yeah.
Oh, okay, cool. I remember that in the movie.
Yeah. So this film is actually based on it's based on a true story. It's actually this whole story takes place in the Depression, the Great Depression. I think it was 1933 or 1934. I can't remember which year, but it's around that whole time. And if you know anything about that time, it was a point in history where a lot of like bank robbers rose up, like it was their season. And another group of people that were also very big at this time were actually like Bonnie and Clyde and people like that. So this story and like the Bonnie and Clyde story, actually they all work together. So this is based on true life events. So the whole movie you're actually watching, they don't actually say in the beginning, they didn't say based on true life events. They'll give you like, they just said in the beginning the year, and at this point it was like it was like showtime for bank robbers because that was the big thing. And especially in that time with the Depression, people almost like made celebrities out of these bank robbers. So we've spoken about Bonnie and Clyde before because we watched a movie, The Highwaymen, which was based on them. And also there you saw how like the public loved them. So like there's one point in this film where John, who's played by Johnny Depp, goes to Illinois he's going to prison, and literally as the car that he's in is driving towards the prison, there's groups of people that have gathered and are literally applauding as he drives past. So it literally was like these people would gather to see, you know, these criminals, but they were celebrities. They were loved by the public, etc., etc. Obviously, law enforcement was trying to take them down, but the crazy part is that people loved them and were sad when they died.
That was it was similar with Bonnie and Clyde.
Bonnie and Clyde, yeah.
It was exactly the same thing. In fact, if you watch the actual history on this guy, on this guy, you see that after he was gunned down,
mm-hmm.
His body was actually there for, what was the word I used earlier on?
Display.
It's there for display in the morgue. Like you could walk in there.
That's crazy.
Oh, this is his body. Oh, look, there's where the bullet entered. Ooh, his eyes sagging a bit there. Must have ruptured something there. Oh, shame. And when they buried him under like slabs of concrete just to make sure that there was not some sort of, you know, escape.
I feel like they were just too paranoid.
I think I'd do the same, man.
What? He's dead.
Yeah.
So what if he got out of prison a couple of times? He was alive.
This guy has gone into prison like twice, at least more than twice, unless there's a time that I never remember or that I never heard of. But this guy escaped out of jail. Like, how do you escape? How do you get out of jail? And then you see how he does it, and you're like, that's quite clever.
But he's, okay, people were clearly paranoid that he was faking his death, if that is at all possible.
Well, think about it. How would you do that? Number one, you go into a movie house. You come out. What if someone dressed like you came out, and when you were gunned down, they made you look? Did you know that he actually, because he was so well known that, and people recognized him quite quickly, right? Because of his fame, it was difficult to sort of stay low wherever he went.
Because people recognized him.
And eventually, he got a plastic surgeon in to come in and change and sort of deform his face.
Oh, is that why people didn't recognize him?
Yes.
Because, that in the film. Okay, in the film, what happened was he grew a moustache and then he'd wear like these glasses with a hat. And people didn't spot him. And I was like, why are they not spotting him? It looks like him. He's just got a moustache. Guys don't look that different when they have like, and it wasn't even like a full grown beard. It was just like the top of his lip.
Yeah, it sort of grew longer. I don't know if it looked like it was a bit longer than usual.
But it was never like, do you understand?
And he walked into the Chicago police station, right to the investigation bureau.
That was investigating him, literally on the door, like printed on the door is investigation of John. And then he walks
His
in.
His whole gang is up there.
There's pictures of him on the freaking wall from all different angles.
How did you like the movie scene, the movie theater scene? He could be in your row. And
right.
The lights go on. Look to the left.
Yes, and he does it. He just sits there.
Yeah, he just sits there, and his and his friends are even like the guys next to him. They're like,
and then one guy stands up, and the other guy grabs him. Like, no, you're not doing nothing.
So yeah, look, he was really, really.
He was a character.
But the point is that if he went that far, you know, he could have faked his death.
Maybe
because at that point, I mean, there was a lot of stuff going on in state law and stuff like that. So. Like, this guy's public enemy number one.
Yeah.
So people knew. They knew what he looked like. People would even approach him and be like, hey, man, hey, by the way, that job, and how you got, dude, that was clever. Shake, man. Well done. Please. Oh, I'm never washing this hand. So, you know, he could have easily faked that. Maybe. Mm. And you know what? The thing is this, is that for all you know, he did. And still today, nobody knows. Crazy, eh?
This sounds like them saying Elvis or Hitler's still alive. It's one of those conspiracy theories.
What are you talking about?
People believe that Elvis and Hitler never died.
But they're not dead.
Oh.
The aliens took them.
Oh, wow, right. Wow. Okay, so this film is has quite a well-known cast, actually an all-star like type of cast. So Johnny Depp, he plays the protagonist or can he be called the protagonist? Because technically he was a villain.
Right.
This was the weird thing about this film. So Johnny Depp's character, John Dillinger, was obviously a bank robber and he murdered people. Apparently, so in the film, it showed that he killed quite a few people. Apparently, in real life, he only killed one person, or it said that he only shot one person, which in the film they depicted it differently. So we don't know. But anyway, the point is he did kill like one person, lots of people you've still killed. And yet he was poor. Like for me, I liked him. Which was like, in my mind, I was like, but he's the villain. He's like, do you understand? He's a criminal. He's not doing the right thing. And yet, it's like they made you want to like him. But then the cops, like, especially like the head cops, you didn't like. Okay, that's just how I felt. Like, I really didn't. Christian Bale, he played Melvin Purvis.
Yeah.
Who in the film, he brought John down. But in real life, apparently, he actually wasn't the head of the investigation at that point. So in the film, they depicted him as being head of the investigation. But with Christian Bale's character, I did not like him. But, you know, you liked him, but you hoped he didn't catch Johnny Depp type of thing. That's kind of like what I had in my head. But I think also maybe thinking about it, why they did that, because it's like they make you like the bad person, you know, like they make you... You're on the team of the criminals, which is like, what are you doing? Like, morally, this is wrong. Like, they walk into a bank and rob, and you're like, yeah. But I think maybe they did that also to almost just give, like, the picture, the feeling of what, like, the public felt in those times. Because the public also, I mean, these people were criminals. Like, seriously. They were, like, doing bad things to innocent people and stealing money.
I thought you were going to say bad things to bad people.
Nope. They were the bad people. So maybe, I don't know, maybe they did that in the storyline. Like, maybe to just give you that feeling of, you know, this is what it was like for people in those days. Yeah. But the film's quite interesting because, so it's based on a true life story. It is a crime film. In other words, so you're looking at, it's that whole investigation, this one chasing that one, who's going to win, will they get away? But then at the same time, it's a drama. And when it's a drama, normally, you know, doesn't end too well. And for spoiler alert, this film, he does die in the end, which obviously is historically correct because, you know, it's not, yeah, that's what happened to him.
Yes, the thing that happened to him really happened to him, and where it happened, it really happened.
Which is pretty cool. So they actually filmed on location in the same streets of Chicago that he was actually shot, which is pretty cool.
And exactly the way that it happened.
Yeah.
A bullet entered him and might have exited him as well.
Mm-hmm. So looking at the budget for this film cost $80 million, and the box office, they got $214.1 million. So they did do pretty well, although apparently this film didn't do as well as they expected it to do. Like it wasn't like a box office hit,
no.
Especially considering the fact that, you know, it had like someone like Johnny Depp in it, Christian Bale, you know, the cast was pretty good. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not like they had poor actors or not well-known actors. So for that, it I think it was a bit of a surprise, but I mean, they did make back the money. It's not like they didn't. They did do quite well. An interesting thing, though, the director of this film is a man named Michael Mann. It's a man named Michael Mann. Now, he actually also directed the film, The Inside Job. Sorry, not The Inside Job, The Insider. Which, I don't know if you've ever watched that film, Ryan.
No.
You've never watched it?
It does ring a bell, though.
So, it's got Russell Crowe in it, Al Pacino. Which, it's also, this one... Oh my gosh, do you know what genre is this film? It's a drama / drama.
Means it's a real hitter.
Yeah, I've never, I feel like we should not watch that one because we'll just be depressed afterwards. But he also, so this director, he in like 2008 and the late 1990s, he directed a lot of films. Recently, what he's done, his latest film was in 2017. It was a film called We Blew It. And then the film before that was another film called Black Hat, which starred Chris Hemsworth. So he hasn't done much recently. I wonder what he's working on, or if he's just like taking a long break. Or maybe he's just done.
All right, I'm done.
It's like, that's it. I've given the world what I need to give the world. And yes. Yeah, that is it.
I think maybe he's told the story that he needed to tell.
Yeah.
Everything lined up to Public Enemies. And then that was it. He was like, okay.
Yeah. So the question is, should you go watch this film before we get into all the interesting facts? So with this film, I did enjoy it. I'm glad I watched it. But, there's a but. It's a drama, which means it doesn't have a happy ending. So if you're the type of person that wants a happy ending, don't watch it. That I think that's the advice I would give you. Because, yeah, it doesn't have a happy ending. Like in the end, you're like, oh, that sucks. That really sucks. I didn't want him to die. I wanted him to live. And then, yeah. And I think maybe that's also why, Ryan, you feel it fell flat. Because it was like, yay.
Yeah. Look, for those who have watched the film, go watch the trailer. You watch the trailer, that's exactly the feel.
Okay, so if you want
to... I watched it. It had the intro. Then there was the bank robbers. And it's like, whoa. And then there was that cool song they played whenever they went to bank robbers. I was like, yeah, cool. It's like a theme song.
Yeah.
And then it just ends on this violin sort of... the synth. I don't know what it is. Just this like...
Yeah. Like a hot machine that
and
just...
the credits come. then it faded. And then my music player closed because the video file was finished. And then my video player closed because, well, the video file was finished. And then I went to bed. No, actually... I had to lift my meter. So I think I watched something on YouTube.
And then you went to bed.
That's it. And then I went to bed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, I think from a historical point of view, so if you're into like history and especially documentaries, if you enjoy documentaries, then I would suggest that you go watch this because it was basically a documentary, but more of like a movie style documentary in a way.
Maybe you're into like history and you heard about this guy, John Dillinger, and then you're like, okay, let's go watch the movie. Yeah. And that was it. I didn't find anything entertaining about the video. I felt like I was watching a documentary. Honestly, I do.
Yeah.
So here's something cool, right? 2015 was the last movie that the director did.
Yeah.
But, however, he's been producing.
Oh.
So 2019, he was a producer on Ford versus Ferrari.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Makes sense with Christian Bale.
Yeah, because it was Public Enemies in 2009 and Black Hat in 2015.
Yeah.
And that was it. But yeah, he's been producing. Maybe that's what he's been doing. Pretty interesting.
That is pretty interesting.
He's got a couple of television shows also.
Oh, okay. So,
but nothing. 2012. That's
like, so the directing thing is kind of. Yeah, he's moved on in life.
I think he's involved in the movie industry.
Yeah,
that's about it. But yeah, this movie was just. I think it's purely just like a history drama documentary, not shot in documentary style, but it's just shot and something. Okay. I watched the 720 version, 720p, the resolution. And you would have watched the 1080, right? The full HD version.
Yeah, I watched it on Netflix. So when Wi-Fi was nice.
If your internet is good enough, although I don't think Netflix decreases your resolution. I've never.
If it's really bad, it will slightly pixelate, but then it fixes itself. Yeah.
How did you find the quality of it?
For me, the quality was good.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. No, then it's just me. I just noticed there was just this weird... Something just bugged me about the quality.
I didn't get bugged by the quality. I think in the way that they shot it, they did put like, I think maybe a film grain or something over it. But it wasn't... I didn't bother... Yeah. I didn't... The quality didn't... That bothered me when it went pixelated. But that was my Wi-Fi. I was like, oh, man. Hoping it would like... And then it did come right. So that wasn't there.
Interestingly enough, Michael Mann, the director, decided to shoot the movie in HD format instead of using the traditional 35mm. Now, I suppose you're like, yeah, but they're making... They're shooting in digital today. No, when they shoot, they usually shoot in like 4K. Or 8K, so you get like a really, really good, like a super, super duper good quality, high resolution. And then when the movie releases, it now releases in HD. But this movie was now shot in HD, and I think that is the thing that maybe I was talking about.
Yeah.
But yes, the shooting style was definitely different. I mean, it was going between like really good sort of structured shots, And then, like, especially in the hectic scenes, there would just be, like, this camera, and it almost looks like they took a piece of the camera. Like, you know, maybe, you know, while the camera guy's, like, the operator's trying to, like, sort of structure him, you know, get himself into place and stuff like that. But it added on to the effect of the for me, I think that's what created the documentary feel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it did that. Yeah. And then just some interesting facts. So, according to Johnny Depp, he actually went to the John Dillinger Museum in Indiana and he didn't go to jail he went to jail, not Illinois, it was Indiana that he went to jail. Sorry, earlier I said Illinois, because he was born in Indiana.
Right.
So they took him back to that prison. But so he went to the museum in Indiana and he actually tried on the trousers Dillinger wore the night he was shot.
What?
The crazy part is the pants fit him perfectly. But this wasn't the reason he went to the museum. So don't freak out and be like, okay, Johnny Depp's some trouser fanatic or something like that. He actually went there to, like, read Dillinger's letters and stuff like that. But while he was there, he decided to try on his trousers. And, it fit. So, you know, he was made for the role in 2009.
Sure.
Another interesting fact is that during a getaway scene following a bank robbery, Johnny Depp drives an actual 1932. What is that car called? Ryan, you said the name. Studebaker. I don't.
Studebaker.
Okay, whatever that car is. STUDE Baker. That was used by Dillinger as a getaway car. The car was actually borrowed from a nearby auto museum. I didn't know they had such thing. Oh, wait, they do have museums of, like, stuff. But that's cool, man.
Yeah.
So they drove the actual car, and it still drove.
And so what is the lesson from this movie? If you cannot make it as a DJ or as a musician...
Make ours.
Make it as a bank robber.
What?
Because there's a... Like,
okay,
he's quite famous. Yeah.
No. That was in the 1930s when there was the Great Depression.
But that was in the 30s. Yeah, and
that was terrible advice, Ryan. What are you saying?
And
you're a father, Ryan. Imagine telling your kids that.
Well, that's why I'm saying it now. Before they get too old.
You know what? I'm going to play this piece for them one day when they're older. Another interesting fact is that the crew filmed, so in the movie and in real life, actually, there was a little Bohemia shootout at the real lodge where it all happened. So there was a lodge called Little Bohemia, and there was a whole shootout that happened there. Now, when they filmed this, they actually filmed the scene at the same hotel, and shell casings from the 1934 gun fight can still be found in the woods surrounding it.
Wow.
So that actually you can still see the shell casings. Johnny Depp stayed in the same room that the real Dillinger stayed in, and yeah, so they actually stuck quite a bit to, you know. Also, the jailbreak from Crown Point, Indiana, and his death near the Biograph Theater in Chicago were also filmed where it actually happened. So they actually went to a lot of the same locations and filmed in the same places, which for me is cool, because then you're like sticking true to the story. Yeah.
So this movie really is like a real sort of documentary history type of... That's cool.
Yeah.
That is pretty interesting.
And then so Johnny Depp is almost 11 years older than Christian Bale, right? But now in the film, the two characters that they were playing, John Dillinger and Melvin Purvis, were only 3 months separated. So in age, they were only 3 months apart. Yet in real life, Johnny Depp and Christian Bale are actually almost 11 years apart.
Yeah.
Which is amazing.
I remember when the movie started and I saw Christian Bale, I was like, wait, I know this guy. Wait, I know. Because there weren't a lot of long pieces.
No, there wasn't.
I'm like, I know this guy. And then I was like, Ford versus Ford. Christian Bale.
Yeah.
Which, there wasn't anything spectacular about any of the acting. Obviously, we've got two actors in there that are usually over the top type of actors. Yeah. And there was nothing really, even Johnny Depp, there was just this, like, really...
Although I did enjoy his accents, I must be honest.
Who?
Johnny Depp's accent.
Johnny Depp's accent.
I feel like he didn't sound like he normally sounds.
No, you are right, yeah.
He definitely pulled... And I know apparently Christian Bale worked with the real... So his character, who I've got the name, Melvin Purvis, he worked with his son. and actually rehearsed lines with his son so that he could hear the way his son spoke, obviously trying to get it as close to the son so that he could match it with his father.
That makes a lot of sense, yeah, actually, because the way that Christian Bale played it, he had this very, like, deep, and he was very just, you know, very serious and very professional
at
everything that he, the way that he played his roles out,
And he is a method actor, Christian Bale. He often goes with the method acting style.
Which makes sense why you would try and hook up with his son and be like, okay, listen, son, you're going to tell me the truth and nothing but the truth.
All right, now this fact, I feel so good about this fact because I just feel like I understand this director. So, Ryan has mocked me before on fonts and speaking about how fonts matter. Fonts lives matter.
I was just pointing it out. I wasn't ripping you. I was, you know, pointing out the fact that, Sashi is a sticker. She's very specific on her fonts.
Fonts, yes.
Like I'm specific on my phones or my machines, yes.
Now get this. So the font in this film was actually, there was a new typeface created specifically just for this film. And it's called, so the font is called New Deal. So the reason why this was done was Michael Mann, the director, understands the power of a good title sequence and always commissions his own. So for Public Enemies, he wanted a font that evoked the Depression era. So he said he got inspiration from publicity posters for Roosevelt's New Deal initiative, which promoted economic relief after the 1929 Wall Street collapse. They're designed in a very constructivist Soviet communist style. And so he said, my font is very solid, clearly masculine, immovable, and it has some very specially naive details, like the way the horizontal strokes are slightly too wide. We've taken out the optical correction. And if you look at the B, you'll see that the holes in the middle are a little bit too small. They look like bullet holes. Now, if you do not say that this guy is a fanatic for fonts, then I don't know what. But literally, he created this font, and at the end, in the credits, and they actually had a different style, a different type of credits. Normally, the names will like fade on and fade off. He did rolling credits, but the rolling credits had the names of the stars in big. I don't know if that stood out for you, Ryan. It stood out for me.
No, like I said, at that point, I was just...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, he was depressed.
The thing that I picked up was how big the font was.
Yeah.
I almost felt like it had been almost stretched, like scaled up. Yeah, I almost felt like it was, like scaled. The credits were bigger than usual. Yes, that's what I picked up. I mean, sure. Just looking at the video file, yeah, like literally, it's huge.
It is huge.
I can understand if it's the, like you said, the fade on, fade off.
Yeah.
But it's not. It's the rolling credits. And they are freaking huge, man.
And then eventually it goes smaller. To normal. Yeah.
Yeah. But even the normal, there you go. There's the normal.
Yeah.
Okay, I was going to say.
Oh, and did you see, so the other thing I thought was cool was in the movie, there's a part where Johnny Depp sings a song. And then at
something about the puppies, right?
Yes, or dog one? Or something, yes. At the end, when the credits started rolling, they actually put in that actual song.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
So it was obviously a song from that time.
It was kind of freaky if you, to be honest, they almost felt like, ooh, like a dead man's song, you know?
A dead man's song. All right, and last fact, and this is a nice fact. This movie was a little bit drab and dramatic, but this fact is nice. So, did you know that Johnny Depp saved 6 extras from being run down by a car on set? So what happened was a stunt driver lost control of the 1933 Ford after hitting a patch of ice. Depp jumped into the vehicle's path when he spotted it skidding towards the extras, who were standing with their backs turned. A witness told the News of the World, Johnny slammed into the group with arms outspread, shoving them all back. So Johnny Depp saved 6 people's lives.
That is so cool.
While filming a movie.
I feel like we should start to show off with that fact. That is so cool. Serious.
Yep.
I'm like jumping onto YouTube. I'm like, is there like footage of this, man? I'm telling you, that is so cool.
Yeah, so.
What do we say? Johnny Depp saved
6 extras lives.
6.
But that's, imagine that. That would have been terrible. Imagine 6 extras died. Do you understand? Like, you're directing a movie or you're in a movie or something happened to the stunt driver and next minute...
Oh, look at this.
What?
It's not the first time Johnny Depp saved small child's life on the set of Pirates.
Oh, look
at... This guy's too much,
right?
Man.
we like Johnny Depp.
And his quote is, life's too short.
Now we are glad that they did not cast Leonardo DiCaprio as the leading role who they were initially going to cast him, because he might not have saved those six extras' lives. So I think that the six extras must be very grateful that Leonardo DiCaprio had to be in Shutter Island. And as a result, yeah.
Okay, that is pretty cool.
So if anything good came out of this movie, it
I feel
was that
better now. I really do feel better about wait, can we review the show, guys?
Can
this
I
is
be
a brilliant
honest?
Movie.
Okay, I apologize if the show felt a bit flat, because I feel like it did. I think it's because the movie's just one of those like, okay, that was
I've still got that.
But can I be honest, when we did The Highwaymen, which was the movie, it was also like a documentary it was basically a crime drama as well. They looked at Bonnie and Clyde. I don't know if you remember me saying, Ryan, but I felt unsettled after watching Bonnie and Clyde as well.
Yeah.
Like there's an unsettling feeling.
That's the feeling I'm talking about. And the thing is this, is that obviously Bonnie and Clyde was also like a documentary history
But I also mean, a movie, so it wasn't documentary style.
But although, because I thought about it last night and I compared, I'm like, sure, why do I feel the way I feel? And, then I was like, and I'm not saying I was like deeply troubled, you know, like you're going to find out next week I committed suicide or something like that. I'm just saying like a movie feels, a movie leaves you with a feeling at the end. You know what I'm saying?
And it does.
I think that's where you rate a movie.
Mm.
This movie just left me feeling like, sure, man, sure.
Life. Like you were sad that he died.
Life, man. Oh, life. Yeah, this guy died. But at least with Bonnie and Clyde, what happened was that you see everyone celebrating. You get the history footage.
No, it's you know like, what was the difference with Bonnie and Clyde? Bonnie and Clyde, you weren't attached to them as characters. You didn't end up...
No, you actually didn't like them.
You didn't like them. They were the villains. You got attached to Kevin Costner's character. I can't remember the actual guy's name that ended up killing them. But you got attached to the cops. So the cops were the good guys. You liked them. They were funny. They made jokes. You were on their side. Whereas in this film, you liked Johnny Depp. Like, I really did. I didn't want him to die. And then he died, obviously. And you're like, So I think that's also... But still, after Bonnie and Clyde, I felt unsettled. And it was probably... I think it's that whole thing of, okay... And the thing is, it happened in real life. That's also the thing.
Yeah, it was a true life.
It's not just like a fictional whatever. That's also, I suppose, why it ends so like drab.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
We need the music from that just to play over here. Let's end the show off on that same note, you know.
But let's just remember that Johnny Depp did save six extras' lives.
Yeah.
So, well, that's, go Johnny Depp.
That's a very fortunate one.
Yes.
Fortunate.
For those six extras.
I was glad they got him. I was like, they did not let him go. And then they shot him. I was like, well, I guess that's it.
Oh, well, thanks, Ron. I liked him. But I like Johnny Depp. So for me, I'm like, don't kill him. He's Johnny Depp.
How's the part where they're at a crime site? At a crime site. Listen to me. At a crime site, they light the flares.
Yeah, that was...
That really added on to it. I was like, do you think it's a crime scene or if it's just for like photography?
I think it was photography. But I must be honest, I like the look of the... Like the film looked like they were in the Great Depression. I don't know if... it had that like gray... Almost... It wasn't desaturated. No. But it wasn't colorful. It wasn't... Which I think was a very good depiction of the times because, you know, people were just trying to survive then. I mean... The whole world went into a depression. Like everyone was battling, and I mean people were even committing suicide. Like literally they were jumping out of like buildings. When Wall Street crashed, people literally just jumped out buildings and killed themselves, which is like hectic. So I think at the time, the historically in that time, it was a very like grey time, if I can put it like that. And I think they did depict that well in the cinematography. And like the color palette that they chose and all of that. And I must be honest, the way he dressed, you could see he liked fashion. Like the way they dressed them with like, that was pretty cool.
I did
like
the dressing.
Yeah, the costume designer did a very good job.
Yeah, I think from that movie that we watched with Bonnie and Clyde, what was it again?
Because The Highwaymen.
The Highwaymen.
Yeah.
But The Highwaymen was good. Now that I think about the movie.
No, that one was very good.
It was really, really
good. That one was very good.
I remember in the show, I made my statement. I said that, I like the way they dress. I don't know why. I got attached to the way they like the way that they dress.
Yeah,
I was like, sure, that's just looks cool. I'm like, I think I might get a couple of trousers like that, and get a nice shirt like
top
that.
Hat.
You know, it wasn't white; it was like the slight yellow, like off yellow type of look. And then like they always had their tie on. Like they could have had the rough day.
Yes.
The tie's on. You know what I'm saying? Like they're in the middle of the desert. They've just woken up and the tie's still on, man. Mm-hmm. Not tied, but loose, but it's on.
It's on. That's all that matters.
It was as if it was a crime to have your tie off. You know, it was it was like walking around with bare feet, you know?
Yeah.
I think I should start that. I'm going to start another movement.
Wearing a tie.
Wear your tie movement.
Okay, Ryan, so for the next week, you have to wear a tie every day.
Watch me.
Oh, yeah. We will report back next week if Ryan succeeded.
I just need to put a reminder in my calendar.
To wear a tie every day.
A tie on. That means I need to wear a collared shirt as well. And it mustn't be anything designer or colorful or anything like that. Okay, so, right. Moving right along.
So, this has been the Movie Show on Active FM. You can go find us on social media. We are on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. On Instagram, you can either look for Active FM or you can search for The Movie Show. And then on Instagram and Twitter, no, sorry, on Facebook and Twitter, you can search for Active FM. Our website also is www.activefm.co.za.
And of course, if you're a YouTube fan, then you can go to www.youtube. Usually you spell it.
.com.
I just went to youtube.com. And you can look for the channel Active TV as well as the channel Active FM.
Yep.
And search for The Movie Show there. And also, after you've watched The Movie Show, you can check out all the other awesome and fabulous playlists that are there. There are a lot, guys. Yes. There are a lot. Go check it out.
Now, we actually just did an acting masterclass on Active TV, so go check that out. We brought you an acting masterclass right from The Movie Show.
That's right.
Yes. And then you can also listen to our shows on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. Thank you so much for listening to The Movie Show. We hope you have an amazing day. Not like Public Enemies. We hope you don't have a drama day. Drama type day. Yes.
Yes.
So from me, Sash.
And I, Ryan.
We will see you next time.
On The Movie Show.
On Active FM.
Toodaloo.
Peace out. And good.
I love Active FM.
Christ music is hot music.
Our music at Active FM is lit.
Fire. Going up like a mansion. I ain't got no rhythm.
Tell the people. Everybody on the dance floor now. Christ is the one we lift our hands for now.
You're tuned in to Active FM.